Trump found guilty of 34 separate felony counts. This is a very bad day for justice in America. In fact, it may be the beginning of the end for America. Hello, everyone. Dr. Chris Martinson here. We're going to have to talk about the Trump thing, not because I'm an astute political or legal analyst, but because of the implications this is going to have. Remember, everything connects to everything else, and I'm going to connect this back to why I think there's a whole lot of trouble coming in the United States and by extension to the world because of this. Now, New York Times, they just couldn't help themselves. Of course, they are excited. New York in general is very excited to have finally convicted their nemesis, their great monster. They've done everything they can to pervert justice, and I will show you exactly why I think that's the case. Now, 34 counts, guilty, 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 guilty. This is astonishing. So what was this case really about? I think that Jonathan Turley did a very good job of capturing this in The Hill in this article here that came out on May 29th of 2024. Preamble I skipped over, get to this point where he said, quote, even before the jury instructions, the trial was controversial. Yes, it was controversial. For both liberal and conservative commentators, both. At the start of the closing arguments, most honest observers were still wondering what the prosecutors were alleging as to the crime that Trump was allegedly concealing with the falsification of business records. What was this case about? Do you even know? It's kind of weird. Here's what it was about. This is from Alex Berenson's Substack. He wrote, in reality, the case depends on a raft of dubious propositions, including one, that companies shouldn't classify payments to a lawyer as legal expenses. That was one of the charges. They inappropriately classified a payment to a lawyer as a legal expense. Candidates illegally influence elections if they try to hide negative information, which means every single election has been illegal up to this point, because, of course, campaign people try to hide negative information. It's what they do. Trump had no non-campaign related reasons to keep Stormy Daniels from telling her story. There was no it had to have been a campaign related reason. There were no other reasons that a man of his prominence would want to keep that little sordid affair under wraps. None. Only campaign. That could be the only thing. And finally, that New York State can bring a prosecution that turns on federal election laws. Folks, anybody who's cheering for the outcome of this verdict right here is an enemy of you, your family, this country, full stop. It has nothing to do with Trump. I'm not a huge Trump fan. I think his record on the vaccination and his stance on it still is disqualifying. It's awful. His whole behavior during COVID, not great. His ability to pick people to surround himself with during his first term, not awesome, right? But nothing quite as bad as this perversion of justice we're seeing right here. And of course, what this has done is turned him into a martyr. This will guarantee a very strong outcome for Trump going forward, guaranteed. So a few oddities that Turley was noting in that Hill article, again, linked down below. Here's a lot of great oddities, but here's a few we're going to pick out. Let's look at this. Consider just a few highlights from the curious aspects of these deliberations. First, the judges ruled that the jury does not have to agree on what actually occurred in the case. You know that old thing where the jury's supposed to agree 12-0 is guilty, anything else is a hung jury, and if they vote to acquit, they can acquit. Now we're just going to dispense with, gosh, is that how we've been running juries for like ever? That doesn't apply anymore because it's Trump. You know, we got to just throw that right out the window. Judge Mershon ruled that the government had vaguely referenced three possible crimes that constitute the unlawful means used to influence the election: a federal election violation, the falsification of business records, and a tax violation. The jurors were told, you know, they could split on what occurred. You know, maybe four jurors accepting each of the three possible outcomes in a 4-4-4 split. Court would still consider that a unanimous verdict, so long as they agree that it was in the furtherance of some crime. I kid you not, that's literally the jury instructions that went out. That has not been mischaracterized. This has not been hyperbolized. That's the state of things right now. I'm going to laugh because otherwise I'm going to be crying. This is an absolute abomination of everything we understand about legal conduct and how judicial cases should be run. This is what an, how are we, how are, how did we get here? How are we, this is bad. And of course, it's even worse when you consider the implications, which we'll get to in a minute. This is the judge, we're going to use air quotes here, Judge Mershon. I would not be surprised if this gentleman has they've got something on him, I guess. I don't know, because I can't make sense of how he decided that he wanted these particular rulings to have his name associated with them for the rest of time. The way he conducted this particular sham trial, this kangaroo court thing, because that's the only ways I can describe it right now. It's like, you know, when John Wilkes Booth shoots Kennedy, I'm sorry, wrong guy, right? Shoots Lincoln, jumps off the balcony onto the stage, breaks his leg, runs out, and a doctor who he goes to see treats him. And that doctor's name was M-U-D-D, Mudd. To this day, you can say, your name is Mudd. And that means you've sullied your family's name in a comprehensive, multi-generational kind of a way. So this guy, Mershon, I think that's going to be, we're going to have to use that for some like completely like terrible thing. Like you're using a staple gun, you're like, dink, 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 and you accidentally like staple your leg to the chair, like, dink. I pulled a Mershon, right? That's how awful this is going to be. Dude, you screwed up so comprehensively. I know. You think that all your friends are going to tell you what a great and brave judge you are, and your little circle that you go to and sip your whatever's with at night, they're going to tell you, oh, you're an amazing person. History is going to look on you, dude. You have ruined your family name. That's how comprehensively bad this is. I mean, really bad. You Mershoned yourself. That's bad. Two, here's one from Judge Mershon. Second, the judge, Mershon, said that he would instruct the jury on the law, but then omitted key elements that were, that established that there was no federal campaign violation, and blocked the legal expert, Ben Smith. And who's Ben? Oh, he's the former chair of the Federal Election Commission, who was going to testify that this could not have been a federal election violation, but he didn't allow, Judge Mershon would not allow that testimony to come into the court. Because you know what? That might throw some confusion into what the outcome should be. And we already know what the outcome should be. Guilty, 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 right? Moreover, even if Trump's legal settlement money could be viewed, even if it could have been viewed as a federal campaign contribution, it could not have been part of a conspiracy to influence the election, since any reporting of a contribution would have had to occur after the election. It's really hard to influence an election after the election. So at any rate, this, and there's many, many, many other oddities. Now, what happened was, you know, you got these two ladies here. You can't see there's two, but there are the two ladies in this little video. Got an Arrest Trump clear backpack on there, despite her being, you know, probably around 60, 70 years old. She's rocking the teenage look here on her backpack anyway. And channeling her glee with writing out all the counts down there. And of course, there was much rejoicing. Now, for every reaction, of course, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And oh, look, Lee Zeldin said here, just secured an $800,000 donation from someone for President Trump's joint fundraising committee. Never experienced a massive ask that easy. Oh, so, chalk on the sidewalk, 800 grand from a single person. Of course, that reaction extended all the way to the Trump donation site. Those servers crashed. A second one set up by Donald Trump Jr. also crashed within hours, just overwhelmed with donors from all over the country. Those donors now poured in a whopping $39 million in 10 hours. Whoops. For all the people who thought that's it, we've finally harpooned our white whale. We've harpooned it. Yeah, you're just about to go on a Nantucket sleigh ride now, apparently. Travis here writing, Michael Cohen admitted to lying under oath. He was one of the main people who were used by the prosecution in this case, Michael Cohen being the former attorney for Trump. Michael Cohen admitted to lying under oath and admitted to stealing from Trump. Of course, he's not guilty. Stormy Daniels admitted to sending a threatening text, literally extorting Trump. Extortion being a crime, not guilty. Judge Mershon donated to Trump's rival, and presided over the case did not recuse himself, of course not guilty. Mershon's daughter received hundreds of thousands of dollars from Democrats, also not guilty. Donald Trump filed payments to a lawyer. So, as he filed payments to a lawyer as payments to a lawyer, guilty. What in the heck has happened to our country? Now, you want to know how serious it is? Donate to Trump actually overtook boobs as a Google search term for a brief, glorious moment in time. Folks, history has been made. Now, that's serious right there. Listen, I dove down into this thing called the Great Taking. Just a quick aside here for y'all. And, you know, this whole idea of you'll own nothing and be happy in the Great Taking talks about how our wealth could actually be taken according to rules. And a lot hinges on this rule being followed by your broker and your brokerage account, right? Rule 15C3-3. Boring, right? No. This rule, as long as this rule is being vigorously followed and vigorously enforced, most people's brokerage accounts and wealth is safe, right? And it says that a broker or a dealer shall promptly obtain and shall thereafter maintain the physical possession or control. Control is a key word. Control of all fully paid securities and excess margin securities. It's a fancy thing. We'll explain that at some other point, or you could watch the episode I did on that. So for the accounts of customers. So that's it. It's a rule. Don't worry. The rule will be followed. Well, what did we just learn about our court system? It's not really about the rules anymore. It's about political ideologies and insiders and who's on the right team and who's on the wrong team. So guess what? You need to control your wealth. Now we can do a 2x2 grid. Trust in the legal system, ranging from low to high, right? And your control of your own assets, ranging from high over here, right, to low. Okay. Well, either you can have somewhere on this grid, you have high trust in the legal system and you have high control of your assets, or you have high trust in the legal system, low control of your assets. But the place you never want to be is where you have low control over your own assets and you have a well-earned low trust in the legal system. Folks, the legal system in the United States is now broken. Anybody relying, counting on, hoping on, or otherwise depending on the legal system being there for them in a time of crisis, needs to really pay close attention to what's going on in the country right now, because the legal system is no longer a legal system. It doesn't decide on the laws. Laws are irrelevant now. Case precedents, irrelevant. Operating standards, irrelevant. Moral standards, irrelevant. Duty of honor, irrelevant. None of that matters. So you have to decide for yourself, is your trust in the legal system high or is it low? And if it's low, you'd better get yourself over to this corner down here on that lower left where your control of your assets is high. And so that's exactly what we talk about how to do in our upcoming webinar, which is going to be, it's a live webinar on June 15th. And of course, it'll be recorded. You can always watch it after the fact, but just go to that URL down there, peak-prosperity.com/event2. And you can come to that. And we got all these experts coming in. David Rogers Webb, of course, the author of The Great Taking, will be there. Suzanne Trimbath, we got Jimmy Lovely, an amazing expert in legal things, Damian Lupo down at the bottom, Paul Kiker, our wealth manager that we work with closely, Stephen Flood of Goldcore. Every one of these people has a way in which to help you understand either the risk or the response that you can take, because we're all about solutions. And if you can't remember that URL, just go to peakprosperity.com and you see down there, anything in bright green you can click on and it takes you somewhere at our site. So you just go to upcoming events off the main webpage and you get there. Now, it's really important that we protect our wealth, people. This is beyond serious at this point. This is May 30th, 2024. I hope you always remember where you were that day. So, all right, the reactions. Well, thanks, Dick Painter. Dick Painter. I put his stuff up there because I just wanted to say Dick Painter. Dick Painter says Trump guilty, prison time not likely for these crimes, but the GOP must find another nominee. Americans will not elect a convicted felon to the White House. I think he's wrong about that. I think Americans will elect a convicted felon. Of course, we already have a person in the White House who's worse than that by every objective standard, at least if you follow his daughter's diary, right? But look at who is Dick Painter. Just to say it one more time, Dick Painter is a law professor, former chief White House ethics lawyer. Chief White House ethics lawyer? Oh, you mean this guy, Mr. Ethics, working on, is it the ethics lawyer for the George W. Bush administration? You mean those people? You mean the administration that killed a million Iraqis with fake weapons of mass destruction stuff, failed to defend the nation, which is the politest I can be about that, on 9/11? You mean those, that guy? Not sure you got a really strong ethics reputation to stand on there, Dick Painter. All right. It is this, of course, this is a national Rorschach test, this Trump moment. So I don't know where you are in this whole thing. Kimberly Classic here saying, Kim K. Baltimore at Twitter said, this is a travesty and clearly an America I no longer recognize. That's where I fall. This is not America I recognize. But of course, we have people on the other side going like Justice Now with a lot of emojis. Chris Justice 01 saying everything was fair and professional. Your spins only reflect poorly on you and your biased judgments. There you go. So this has really fractured the country, and of course, which is what it was meant to do. If you followed my work, you know this is a rats in a cage moment. This is the point of all of this, is to get us divided, to get us fighting like this, like these two right here, with and among and across each other. It's not designed to help us find out that actually the whole system is corrupt and is corrupt from the top down. And it doesn't really, it's not about which side you're on. There aren't sides here. You're either on the top of the pile or you're on the bottom of the pile. The thing that drives me nuts is watching people like Justice Now, Chris Justice, sitting firmly on the bottom of the pile, arguing that this is the best pile they can possibly conceive of. It's just a failure of imagination. It's really not impressive. Robert Barnes, who I always love his take on things, I went right there to figure out what he was saying about this Trump verdict. He said, what a judge doesn't make it law. What a jury says doesn't make it true. What a prosecutor or cop say doesn't make it fact. Remember this as the Trump verdict should teach us all. The corrupt accused him of being corrupt precisely because he isn't corrupt. Trump is innocent. Now, Robert's raising a very, very interesting point here, and a good one, which is that one of the main tactics that you will find in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, that is, you know, people who are anarchists, socialists, communists, those sorts of radicals, lefty radicals, one of their prime rules is that you want to attack your opposition with your own worst character flaws. So we've seen this over and over and over again, right? Oh, you're anti-science, say the people promoting a totally wholly untested, medical treatment vaccine thing, right? Oh, you are the people who are the deplorables in this country, when in fact, they're the ones who are going around doing some really awful things. So one of the things I've learned is that the keepers of the status quo, the narrative machine, one of its prime features is anything that it tells you have to really worry about is actually the thing they're doing themselves. It comes to us from an old line from Shakespeare, "Methink the senator doth protest too loudly." Meaning, what is this faux outrage over whatever it is that they are concerned about? Those are the things they're actually doing themselves. And it's just how it is. So the fact that the left, the progressives, were so upset that Trump must be this corrupt person who's doing illegal things just tells me that there's a lot of corruption and illegality going on their side of the fence, because it's just how they roll. You want to see how bad it is? This is bad. Like, okay, track with me here, and let's take a quick look at this.
Mr. President, can you tell us, sir, Donald Trump refers to himself as a political prisoner and blames you directly. What's your response to that, sir? Do you think the conviction will have an impact on the campaign? We'd love to hear your thoughts, sir.
Should he be on the ballot, sir?
What's your reaction to that? Maybe he didn't hear the question. I mean honestly, he's pretty senile at this point. But I think that was a fairly genuine response on his part.
Can you tell us, sir, Donald Trump refers to himself as a political prisoner and blames you directly. What's your response to that, sir?
That's a genuine smile. Yeah, that is that's like, yeah, we did that. He refers to himself as a political prisoner. Look at that as actual glee. That man is lit up. He's looking particularly happy. That is the cat that swallowed the bird right there. That man is feeling good, and that's frisky. That's a nice, he looks younger. in that picture right there. That's literally where we're at. It is an open thing that we are now in the business in the United States of attacking and jailing and lawfaring. Instead of warfare, there's lawfare using a weaponized Justice Department. And you know what? You know what's happening? You know what's happening amongst all the Republicans, the so-called Republicans and in D.C.? They are writing some stern letters about this right now, and it will all be forgotten by next Tuesday. And it's just how it goes. It's very unfortunate, but we don't have a legitimate opposition party. We have a uniparty, and I put a pox on both houses. Anybody who stands for this and is in a position of authority to do something about this and just does nothing, or maybe writes a stern letter, or maybe demands that somebody come for a hearing in front of Congress where they will be asked some stern questions, and then nothing happens. There's no defunding, there's no firings, there's no jailings, no good. So I don't have a lot of hopes here. All right, the point of all this is just to strike fear, of course. Elon Musk, writing today with 274,000 likes at the time I pulled this morning, said, indeed, great damage was done today to the public's faith in the American legal system. If a former president can be criminally convicted over such a trivial matter, motivated by politics rather than justice, then anyone is at risk of a similar fate. That's the point. That is the point. The point is that you scare all of the little monkeys by taking out the one big chicken, right? That's an old Chinese proverb, right? Scare the monkey, kill the chicken. Geiger Capital wrote, the first felony conviction of a former U.S. president wasn't for the Iraq or Afghanistan wars, or wasn't for any illegal CIA coups, or it wasn't for drone striking weddings, wasn't for spying on Americans. These things are actual heinous crimes. No, it's the misclassification of a legal expense, of an expense, right? This is hard to take in, but this should be your warning bell, okay? That's why I've been doing everything I've been doing at Peak Prosperity all these years, because I knew that things were going to speed up towards the end. That's what's happening. And why are they speeding up towards the end? I will submit to you, it's because we have giant, huge structural problems that cannot be fixed. We have a debt problem that's way too big to be fixed. Where are all the insects out there? Hey, if you haven't been watching what's happening in the oil space, or copper, or silver, or farmland, there's a whole story there that's really big that we have to talk about. And if you're paying even the slightest bit of attention, you know that what we should be doing is having adults in the room having real big conversations about how we're going to navigate one of the most turbulent periods of time. And all we're actually getting out of the system is the divide and conquer, the warfare upon our minds, the breaking of our spirit, the demoralization. This is designed to demoralize. This is a national-sized perp walk, which is designed for you to understand that if you even get slightly out of line, you stand no chance. Because if a billionaire ex-president doesn't stand a chance, trust me, you stand no chance too. That's the point. That's how these people roll. Because remember now, what they're after here is your reaction to this. Your reaction is the target. The Saul Alinsky, writing again in that Rules for Radical book, which was so widely appreciated by Obama, by Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, they all said that Saul was like a great friend of theirs. The real action is the enemy's reaction. And then from a website that sort of pulls this forward, and obviously you can think which side of the spectrum this website might lie to, they say, when challenging a more powerful target, of course, the key to success often isn't what you do, not what you do, but how your target reacts to what you do. Therefore, anticipate your target's response and write it into your script. They're looking for a reaction. They're going to keep poking and poking and poking until they get the reaction. Then they get to react to the reaction and go, oh, look at all these violent people. Look at this. If you want to protest, if you want to say, hey, that last election didn't look fair, you might end up in prison in solitary confinement for a few decades, right? They're waiting for the reaction. But of course, no reaction is also a reaction at this stage. So it's really kind of a catch-22. It's a hard position to be in. So here's an example from one of these websites, Beautiful Trouble. They said, oh, Anarchapanda, a popular icon during the 2012 Quebec student protest, drew police into the awkward optics of arresting a panda, right? So they're looking for the reaction because they're specifically seeking this, and there's cameras on that, right? No different than when the Trudeau government hired the LARPer to put a Nazi flag up and carry that around and then take some quick pictures of it and then hustle that person into a secure building so they wouldn't get attacked by the crowd, right? And then they just harped on that endlessly. Yeah, that's what they do, right? So just understand this is like a mini false flag event. And of course, there are larger level false flag events. But the idea is that it is an action meant to deceive, to get a reaction out of the people you're trying to get the reaction out of. This is just politics by any other name. Now, here's another reaction that's happening. Here's George Behizi tweets writing, I usually only donate to local candidates because oftentimes they need it more. But I just activated a monthly donation to the Trump campaign following this sham. Guilty verdict. We must fight for Trump. So this isn't exactly the kind of person that the progressives would want to lose necessarily. That they want, because they're trying to maintain this idea that Trump is just this overt racist, which they can't support with anything other than the narrative of saying that over and over again. They don't really have anything to point to directly. And so when somebody like George signs up for Trump, of course, it begins to undercut their narrative. No worries. The Washington Post, where democracy goes to die, was on the case and writing about election 2020. They said, to understand Trump's support, we must think in terms of multiracial whiteness. That's confusing. Of course, what do you expect from the Washington Post, where democracy goes to die? That's a better tagline than democracy dies in darkness. But we got to ridicule these people. Oh, this is so stupid. All right. Jonathan Turley, writing after the verdict came out, said, I obviously disagree with this verdict, as do many others. I believe that the case will be reversed eventually, either in the state or federal systems. However, this was the worst expectation for a trial in Manhattan. I am saddened by the result, more for the New York legal system than the former president. I had hoped that the jurors might redeem the integrity of a system that has been used for political purposes. And Horse Whisperer is just a dyed-in-the-wool, everything through a binary lens. So obviously not a very calculating or interesting human being, but has a lot of followers because he's just partisan. I said, you didn't even hear the testimony, Jack. Right? Again, divided country. My reaction... I now have to avoid everything New York related. I'm not going to New York. And I would advise everybody who's in New York to get out. There are good people in New York City. You got to go. Just get out. In New York State, just get out. I mean, this is bad. If you're in New York, you live in a state that has told you specifically they will destroy your life if you hold the wrong views, if you say the wrong thing, or if they just feel like it, or maybe they just woke up on the bed wrong that day. On the wrong side of the bed that day. So that's New York. Avoid New York. Be done with it. There should be consequences for this. Viva Frey, who I was just on his show a while ago. I'd like to get back on, get him on here to get his views on this, because this is a good view. George Bush killed at least 500,000 innocent Iraqis based on a lie. Obama illegally ran weapons to Mexican drug cartels and assassinated an American citizen. Bill Clinton bombed a medical facility in Sudan. Joe Biden allegedly molested his daughter and credibly sexually assaulted Tara Reid. But Trump is the first American president to be criminally convicted based on an alleged misclassification of an otherwise lawful payment. It's not just that the criminals are in charge, Viva writes here. They are rubbing criminality in the face of their victims. And again, this is actually designed to demoralize when you have overt double standards like this. Now, look, in law, two things matter a lot. The reality of the fairness of law and the appearance of fairness of the law. The reality and the appearance both actually matter. Sometimes you have to go forward with a case just for appearance's sake so that it looks like you are attempting to be fair and balanced. Once people lose the reality of fairness and the appearance of fairness, then why bother following laws? Why do it, right? Oh, it's a stop sign. Oh, that bank shouldn't be robbed. Oh, you know, I shouldn't like violently assault somebody on the street for no reason. You know what separates humans from pure anarchy? The law. But only if the law appears and actually is fair and balanced. And if you don't have that, then it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to anarchy. Now, of course, whoever these Saul Alinsky radicals are that are now infesting the White House, infecting the White House, these people are actually enemies of the country, and they've been doing everything they can to destroy the country. $1 trillion of new deficit, new debt taken on in just 100 days, a border that is still completely uncontained at this point. We haven't been talking about it lately, but there's still illegal migrants, not immigrants, migrants pouring over the border on a daily basis, many of them Chinese nationals. We have the absolute abandonment of any sense of morality. And oh, by the way, the thing I'm going to be talking about in part two with my subscribers is the exceedingly disturbing stuff that's coming out about the provocations that are happening towards Russia in and around the Ukraine theater, but also inside Russia itself, in a clear attempt to provoke a reaction from Russia that I believe whoever these people are, they want a nuclear reaction. And I mean that very specifically from Russia. So they're dangerous, dangerous, dangerous people who are specifically attacking this country. Now, you want to talk about the double standards on all of this? How about this? Thomas Massie dropping the truth bomb said, congressman paid $17 million of taxpayer money for undisclosed hush payments to cover up sexual harassment claims. Can't keep your hands off the interns. So hard. I know. So hard. Meanwhile, candidate Trump allegedly used his money, his own money, for $130,000 hush payment that was between two consulting adults, by the way. And he's convicted of 34 felonies for not disclosing it properly. What? Come on. This is failing empire kind of stuff. This is Nero fiddling, Caligula. Like, we're like, folks, we're not over the tips of our skis. The tips of our skis have caught the mogul on the downhill side, and we are now, you know, tumbling down a 40-degree slope. That's the feeling I have. So that's why, hey, come back with me, all my Peak Prosperity subscribers. Can't wait to talk to everybody about this. When the system breaks, we got to understand that, you know, they in this story, they live in a world of abstractions, right? And the abstract, while reality is the thing that sets the rules. That's the problem. What do I mean by living in abstractions? You know, most of the people making these rules and setting all this stuff, they've never actually had a real job, right? They haven't plumbed anything. They haven't sawn anything. They haven't actually wrestled ore out of the ground and turned it into metal. They haven't done any of that stuff. Their parents were lawyers and who sent them to Brown, and they've been there, you know, writing dissertations, and then they maybe worked at McKinsey for a while or at a law firm. They don't live in the world of reality. Reality is about to bite. The problem is where the administrative class is just stuck shot full of people who wouldn't know a profit and loss statement from a hole in the ground, right? Or any other facet of reality. And while they're pushing their abstractions, like, oh, we have to save the climate, they don't understand the realities of farming. While they're out there, you know, making sure that individual people don't say the wrong things, and they're arguing over misinformation, malinformation, and disinformation, while they're doing all of those things, the insects are busy disappearing, and they wouldn't know why that's important because they didn't spend enough time outside, and they haven't actually watched an ecosystem service thing stand up. They haven't spent a morning in a duck blind. They haven't, let alone, you know, a whole fall, right? They don't know how the world works. They don't understand how food production actually works and what's involved. They don't know stuff. They just don't know stuff. It's like the pilot of our plane has never been in a plane before. And we're all supposed to be okay with that somehow. Well, I'm not okay with that. That's what I got to be talking about with my subscribers. Things are heating up, of course. Come on back. If you like information like this with appropriate context, you're going to love the crew we have and the work that we do at Peak Prosperity. So you are cordially invited to subscribe if you'd like to. And by the way, we make it risk-free. 30-day money-back guarantee. You will love it. I don't think we've given one back. I don't think we've had any redemptions yet. So with that, thank you very much for listening. We will see you next time. I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend, and just get ready. It's game on, folks.